Welcome, my friends, to episode 2 of season 2. This is Supernatural Scotland, the podcast, and I'm your host, Mark Smith. So we're very close to Halloween now, and it's my favourite time of year. Halloween has a few different names in Scotland, but most famously known as All Hallows Eve. In Scotland, trick-or-treating is known as guising. Halloween is part of an ancient Gaelic festival called Samhain. It is a night marking the end of summer and the coming of winter. It was believed that when geysers dressed up in costumes, they would blend in with any spirits wandering during the festival, and that would keep them safe. Once the geysers performed tricks or songs, they would be gifted with something to help them ward off evil. So no sweeties there. Scotland has a long history of death and tragedy, and this echoes through time with the hauntings of these ancient places. Sometimes we can figure out who these tragic people were, but sometimes the people are lost to history, and all we have to remember them by is the ghostly figures that haunt the land. Join me as we discuss more stories from Scottish history and the people involved. Our first location is Raight Castle. The lands were granted to the first chief of Clan MacIntosh in the 1100s. Shaw MacIntosh helped King Duncan IV with a rebellion in Moray and was rewarded with the title of Constable of Inverness Castle and was given lands in Findhorn Valley, which included Raight. In 1263, the fifth chief led the MacIntosh clan in the Battle of Largs against the Vikings, which there was no clear winner of the battle, but this broke the Vikings' hold on the Hebrides. Sadly, 2 years later, he was killed in a duel, leaving his very young son, his heir. The Cummings then seized this opportunity and took the lands for themselves. The Cummings were a strong family in the 13th century and were quick to action at any other family's misfortunes. They arranged their fair share of marriages for noble families in this period to build their fortunes and strength. Once they took hold of Raight, they would change their surname to match. Now forgive me if I don't quite pronounce this correctly. Gervase de Raight then built the existing castle as a replacement to the old manor house, which already existed. The son of the chief took the side of the King Edward I of England against Robert the Bruce when the war broke out. This led to the end of the Cumming clan's hold on Scotland. Robert the Bruce and John Cumming had a massive argument, and Robert the Bruce stabbed him to death in Greyfriars Church in Dumfries. After this incident, the clan took the side of England. The Scots gained independence, and the Cummings were stripped of most of their land and titles. They managed to hold on to Raight. The MacIntoshes were furious about this, as they believed the land should be handed back to them, as they were big supporters of Robert the Bruce. The feud between the two clans continued. In 1442, an evil plan was hatched, right out of Game of Thrones. The Raights decided to arrange a banquet at Raight with the MacIntoshes, all along planning to murder them. Cumming of Raight's daughter had fallen for a MacIntosh and warned him of the evil plot. The MacIntoshes decided to attend the feast knowing the dark plot afoot. The signal was a toast to the memory of the dead. The Cummings stood up ready to draw their weapons, but were surprised by the MacIntoshes, who stabbed them with daggers. The chief of Cummings escaped, and knowing his daughter had betrayed him, ran to her chamber. The poor girl hung out her window, looking to escape, when her own father used his sword to chop off her hands and she fell to her death. It is said her ghost haunts the castle to this day. Her hands are missing, and she wears a white dress which is covered in her own blood. A very tragic end indeed. So beware when visiting this castle, in case you happen upon the poor girl, or you might just catch a glimpse of one of the many killed men over the castle's history. Our next story is less about place and more about a person. I spoke about the cannibal Sonny Bean in the first season, and today you are going to hear another infamous cannibal, christened Christy Cleek. Sounds right out a slasher movie, which is very fitting for this psychopath's story. They say his real name was Andrew Christie, and he was a butcher from Perth. There was a horrendous famine in the mid-14th century, which included floods and plagues of mice and rats. You may have heard of the Great Famine of 1315 to 1317, and this caused many reports over Europe of cannibalism. But Scotland has its very own cannibal from this period, who is more of a bogeyman than anything else. Christie was a member of a scavenging group in the Grampians seeking food. Sadly, food was of course very scarce due to the famine, and after some time of searching, one of the members of this scavenging party had an accident and died. Well, it's believed that he had an accident. You have to understand, these people were desperate and starving. Christie, being a butcher, put these skills to use and created a meal out of the poor soul who died. You could say this man was lucky to die and not be part of the cannibalistic mealtime which preceded. The party then developed the taste for human flesh, having full bellies. Christie became the leader of this group of scavengers, who then decided to continue with this newfound food source, as grotesque as it was. Were they evil to begin with, or had the desperation of hunger changed these men? They hunted for unlucky travellers and the Grampians. They would kill them and their horses for food, and Christie would do the butchering. It is believed that Christie would pull his victims from their horses with a large iron hook fixed on a long pole, kind of like a shepherd's crook, before slaughtering them for their flesh. It is claimed around 30 people were killed by Christy Cleek. As you can imagine, that is quite a lot of eating for him and his party, especially if you include the horses. An armed force from Perth was sent after these cannibals, as they became greedy, and this caused people to notice something was wrong and so many people disappearing. The army from Perth caught his grisly cannibal group. It is safe to say those not killed in battle were executed. Somehow, Christy Cleek was able to escape, and it is said that he has changed his name and returned to normal life after almost being caught. It is also claimed he died many years later as a married man and a rich merchant in Dumfries. Did he continue his cannibalistic ways just in a much quieter way on his own without his dead party? Well, this is one of those times the bad guy gets away. Be careful walking the Grampians, as you might just see a ghost, and that ghost may be a victim, or he may well be an evil cannibal. We are going to finish this week's podcast with Knowland Castle. It is said to be haunted, but the scariest part of this castle is the legend of the Bocky Hound. This is a ghost which lives in a hole under the stairs. If you have heard of a banshee, this is very much like a banshee. The dog howls when one of the family dies. It is said the dog was a family pet of Sir David Balfour during the 13th century. When he was returning from a hunt, he was enraged when his dog jumped up, knocking his drink from his hand. Sir Balfour was enraged by the dog's actions and killed the poor dog. Bit of an overreaction, I would say. Later, he discovered the drink was poisoned by his wife and the dog had actually saved his life. He then joined the Crusades and died while in Turin in 1270. It is said blood-curdling howls were heard all over the castle and his wife was found dead in her bedroom, strangled to death. And now the dog's blood-curdling howls can be heard whenever a family member of the Balfours die. And that is the end of another episode. We are approaching Halloween now, and this time of year always holds a special place in my heart, as I'm sure it does with my listeners. So enjoy your Halloween season and stay safe. This is a time of year when the ghosts and ghouls can walk among us unknown. Just remember, on Halloween night, when your doorbell rings or you hear a knock at the door, remember to give out lots of sweeties, as you never know what might be waiting and you don't want any tricks. Goodbye for now, and happy Halloween.